Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WIP Morning Show on a Wednesday morning in the Delaware Valley. After your Fighting Phils put up a 10 spot in the first. Ow, I'm going to find some people today. They went to the game last night.
Yeah.
Got there late.
Yeah, I know.
Looked up at the scoreboard.
Turned into TV
what
late.
What do you do? What do you do? You get there in the second inning, yeah, it's 10-0. What do you do?
If you turn on the TV light, you're like, what?
It was right. The first inning. I took Skeeter for a walk when it was 8-0. I figured I was safe.
By the third inning, even Skeeter was tired of it. But that there is a lot more to cover today. We have a 9 o'clock hour that will feature Bolt, the manager of your Fighting Phils, Gabe, the highly controversial Gabe Kapler. Mm-hmm. Al, I'm going to go after him today on analytics. Even though they won 14-3.
Really?
Timing. What do? They always win the night before he comes out when I'm here.
Why would you complain?
I have some complaints about Monday. I got to do it. At 9:30, how about this one, Al? Reese Hoskins.
Oh nice.
Reese Hoskins coming out at 9:30. Now we got the rest of our guest list is in flux right now.
Oh, flux.
Because of a story that broke this morning in New York City.
Oh, New York.
And I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a tug of war in the city today and how true the story is. But it is so, controversial. Controversial that to ignore it would be not doing my job. Mm. So I'm going to lay out what we have, the particulars surrounding it, and then you can decide how much you want to believe. Can I be honest with you? I believe most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start differently.
Oh, okay.
Normally, Al, you lay out the story and then give the responses of people.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with how we found out the story was there.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it came courtesy of the vice president of Sixers Communication, Dave Scholler, who after the story came out, comes out online the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
He sent out this tweet. I will read it entirely because you do not normally get a denial this way.
Okay.
All right. Here is what Dave Shaw, the VP of the Sixers, has said. This is one of the most irresponsible hack jobs I have ever seen in more than a decade of working in sports. And he was with the UFC. Factual inaccuracies, made up stories, and references to conversations that never happened.
Ugh.
This is a steaming pile of trash.
Is he trying to sell the story?
I'm not done yet. Yeah, this is what got us. Once Rhea saw this first, Rhea couldn't wait to get to the story.
What the hell?
Now, this is the way it ends up. This is a steaming pile of trash. Steaming, period. Pile, period. End of statement.
Al, at 3:20, I saw that, and my fingers couldn't move fast enough to get into the story.
What the hell? Yeah, that's a direct. Al. Why don't you just give a link?
Al, yeah. Can I just say, I am not a PR guy. This doesn't seem like the what. Right. All this made you want to do is read it.
Of course.
Am I right?
Yes.
All right. And the other thing I want to mention is the guy that wrote it, New York Daily News, Al, has a skeleton sports staff now.
Oh.
They farm out a lot of what they do.
Oh, okay.
But because the Sixers are coming into New York to play Brooklyn Game 3 tomorrow night, right, I'm sure they wanted a story on the current state of the Sixers.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Sheridan is not some hack they found living, in a cardboard box on the Bowery. All right? He has been a sports writer. He's 52 years old, a graduate of Marquette Journalism Program, who's been covering basketball for over 2 decades, including at ESPN and Associated Press. Both of those have very high standards.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you would like to believe the Sixers, they go, this guy made most of this crap up, you can believe this guy who has a very solid record of covering sports, specifically the NBA and basketball. Now let's get to the particulars of this, Al. And although he did not do it this way, I'll read the beginning of it. I took what he reported and put it in some sort of chronological order so you'd be able to follow it a little easier. But his basic point is what he wrote in the third paragraph, fourth paragraph of the story. The Sixers are a mess internally, with Brett Brown having long ago lost the locker room following the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, but before the acquisition of Tobias Harris. The breaking point came at a game against Portland when Brown had Bruce Bowen address the team about the San Antonio Spurs culture. See, Brown realized he needed that winning attitude the way he did when he was a coach at the Spurs all those years. So he brought in a guest speaker. But in this story, by the way, this part of the story, it was corroborated in reports on Philly.com by Keith Pompey the first week of January.
Right.
So this wasn't out. If this was a pile, there was no steam.
This part was not
this
made up.
This was not steaming.
No,
right?
No.
So anyway, they bring in Bruce Brown.
Yeah.
And now this didn't go the way it was designed.
Well, that's the pile. That's the not the fact that they brought this ball.
Now, he came out and he started telling them how they had to cherish their roles and embrace it and work together for the common goal of
success.
Seems
good.
That seems good, Al. But then he got into it with Joel Embiid.
No.
Is there one guy in that room, Al, you would not get into it with?
Why would he
get franchise?
Why would he get
in? He singled him out, according to Pompey's story.
Three times. He looked him in the eye, and he said, I ain't scared of you.
Oh, God.
Hollis.
What's up?
I ain't scared of you.
You better be. you only get one.
Joel Embiid, at one point when he realized Joel wasn't taking it well, which frankly, would anyone?
No.
He tried to say he was joking, although there was no indication he was joking, and then they had to be separated. Al,
nice play.
A guest speaker that ends up alienating the top star to the point where there could be a physical altercation, that is not a good plan.
In Pompey's story, it says that Brown later apologized, but some in the room felt it was a scripted speech.
Well, all right, wait a minute.
So when that says scripted, you know that's coming from the coach.
From Brown himself.
Yeah, asking Bowen to say it to the player.
Right, now, there's a lot more. By the way, there's a lot more in here. It's a radio show. I can't give you the whole. You got to read what I have done. Because Al, I embrace full disclosure.
Okay.
I have just tweeted the whole story out so you can read it and decide how much you want to believe about it. It got worse, Al. By the trade deadline, February 7th, Elton Brand, who does have more power than I thought he would, but doesn't have full power.
Oh.
He had made a decision about Ben Simmons. They needed to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Simmons is a liability in the playoffs because he can't shoot, and he especially can't shoot free throws.
Right.
All right? Yeah. And he went, this is not going to work. And he was informed, I'm going to say by Brett Brown, that there are two players you will not trade on this roster. One is obvious, Embiid, and the other is Simmons.
Yeah.
Even if Anthony Davis is the prize, you cannot. We will. And now that you know what that says to me, and that's totally believable too.
Yeah,
because Brown has a history with Ben Simmons's family. He coached his father.
Right.
They go way back. Remember all that stuff in Australia?
I thought that Brand made that comment or made the assertion to ownership.
Yeah.
And
well, whatever. Ownership was talking to Brown. At this point, they're totally on board with Brett Brown. Clearly, they're not as on board now because you got Josh Harris saying it would be very problematic if we don't go further this year. That's two rounds of victory. All right, so that story emerges. And now we find out that there's a lot more going on with Simmons than meets the eye. Now, Hollis, I need you for a second here.
Sure, sir.
Simmons, to me, alienated himself to our own city when he started telling you can't boo us.
Oh, God.
You want to boo us, go on the other side.
No.
Go boo for you. What'd you think of that?
I thought you should have shut up and give us something to cheer about. We were cheering you were doing good. The booing was letting you know that your effort was less than stellar today.
Yeah. Well, he didn't think that although he played an awful game,
God awful,
that anyone should give any negativity to him. Well, anyway, the thing is, on March 25th, he was reported as being out in Orlando with a stomach virus. And I'll just read what this Chris Sheridan report. Mm. In actuality, a source close to the team told the Daily News, Simmons had spent the night partying in Orlando. The stomach virus was a fallacy, although that is nothing new for the Sixers organization. They used to do the same thing with Allen Iverson was partying and gambling his nights away.
Well.
Which, by the way, is all true.
Yeah.
Right? So this guy, Al, even in March, Simmons' commitment to the team was not as strong as his commitment to partying. All right? And I think, and I'm just giving you the generalities of this, the picture being painted is that the team's a mess. Now I'm going to tell you why I believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the theme of this story is a lack of discipline. He brings Bowen in because he doesn't think the team is committed, right? He's talking about Simmons because Simmons, Al, there's a piece in here where Simmons could fix what he's doing at the free throw line simply by doing what he's been coached to do for 2 years here, bend his knees when he throws a free. You know something, Al? Do I look like an NBA player to you?
No.
No.
I knew that. I knew when you're in CYO, when you're in little leagues, they say to you, when you shoot a free throw, you're going to bend your knees a little. That's how you get that.
I learned it from John Barry.
John Barry?
Yeah, he was interviewed me. He was telling.
Wow.
He was talking about the free throw.
He said he was like a 90% free throw
exactly.
shooter, as was his father.
Exactly.
All right, those guys knew how to throw free throw. He won't do it, Al.
No.
He refuses coaching.
Oh.
He refuses to be coached.
Yeah. Well, that's. I mean, when you're a star in the NBA,
yes,
this goes back to Shaq.
Well,
I mean,
what if you're a star but could be bad?
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, but to what both of you saying, Shaq listened to Phil Jackson, though. You have to get somebody to
listen.
I don't think they respect Brett Brown. I don't think. I've been saying that for the last few years that I don't think they respect him. And you're not going nowhere if you do not respect the coach. You can have all the talent in the world, but until you get somebody that's at the helm that they respect, they're going to keep turning the ball over and doing all the stuff that we're talking about now.
100% in agreement, Hollis. And I'm going to tell you why. It's real simple. The reason I believe this, the depiction of this story is a team with lack of discipline.
Yeah.
Lack of respect for the coach to do. And all you need to know, because we all saw it with our own eyes, is that a member of that team in game one of the playoffs brought his cell phone to the bench, Amir Johnson. Al, no one would do that if they respected the coach or feared discipline or anything, and nothing happened to the guy. He was in street clothes. He wasn't going to play anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Hollis, if you were in an Eagles game and one of these guys pulled out his cell phone, you'd probably clock him right on the sideline.
I would politely move away from him.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be the bearer of bad news of the fine which he's about to get.
Right.
But I don't want part of the fine, and I don't want nobody asking me what was he showing me on the phone. Because that is a no-no. It's like, you don't even bring your phone. You're not even supposed to bring your phone to meetings.
No. But when a guy does that, he's making a statement about the people running the team, isn't he?
And if you have a coach like Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Ray Rhodes, all those guys will make examples out of him.
Well, all right. So I think what I'm saying is this, Al, and I don't want to be too gross in this, but I think that Dave Scholl's comment today was the actual steaming pile of trash. And by that, I mean steaming pile.
Steaming.
You know, I think that's my
take. I could be wrong.
You're not wrong.
I don't know. I wasn't in these meetings. I don't know what's going on over there, but I believe what this guy reported.
You know how they give you those little excerpts to a movie that you want to see?
Right.
He gave us an excerpt to an article that we want to read now.
Well, that was dumb in itself that he said it that way, so Rhea couldn't wait. She almost broke her cell phone getting over to the story.
Now, what I tell you, Andrew, I do every morning when the alarm goes off at 3:15, 3:20, I just grab my phone and see if I've missed anything overnight.
You missed something.
And I see that tweet, and I couldn't sit up fast enough, and I went, okay, I got to go find this story.
That's how she started her day out with the steaming pile. but the bottom line on it is, I actually do believe what they're writing. And they're going to, now I know this is what I used to do this job.
Yeah.
Now, I was an investigative reporter a long time ago.
Right.
How you could tell how valid a story is by the level of specifics provided. Mm-hmm. The stuff in this story, very specific.
The Bowen thing was reported by the Inquirer in January.
The Bowen thing is corroborated.
Yeah.
Right, by, I don't know, it slipped through a lot of people's eyes.
Well, the Eagles were in the playoffs at that point, right?
Probably, yeah, that would have done it. But anyway, there's already corroboration of parts of the story. And secondly, when you're that specific about a story, you have details. I don't think this guy is some run-of-the-mill hack reporter who doesn't have 20, 25 years of experience reporting basketball. And I think it kind of reinforces my original impression that the Sixers have a team that has the ability to go deep into the playoffs, but probably not the coach to get them there. That's where I am on this story. But we're going to give you a chance to vote on it. Now we're going to give you a chance to comment on it. Here are your numbers, 888-729-9494. And now there is a picture at the Daily News today of Scott Kingery, who currently is on fire.
Yes, he is.
And without being rude, he might want to put his hair on fire, too. Do you see that hairstyle he's got going on now, Al? And that is why today, to get on the wheel, you will need people who are famous, past or present, for their hair.
Oh.
It's easy enough, right?
Yeah.
You
got
to
cool.
see. We got to tweet out the picture of Kingery.
I have to see this.
No, really, it's a don't. That do is a don't.
It's a don't.
I mean, it's really a don't. 888-729-9494. Win some prizes. I got some great stuff today. There is one tweak on the wheel I'll tell you about when we come back. We'll give you our question of the day. Sixers, are they a mess? New York Daily News says it's bad. What do you say? WIP Sports Time, 668.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.